Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. We're here at episode number 355. Going to be joined by our special guest today from Splunk, Nate McCurvey. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about a little bit of the news. I got a couple things out here I want to talk about, and the other folks here have some stuff as well. The first one I had here was around Azure Files, adding support for to our premium tier for the SMB multi-channel. Sounds super technical, but what it means is go faster. So for those who have used Azure Files, which is kind of like an SMB file share, this enables some of the standards into our premium tier that allows you to basically get higher throughput, increased IOPS, different kind of fault tolerance mechanisms. There's a good write-up in the blog about this. So for those who are using Azure Files and you're interested in more high performance offerings, that's there. Second one I had was around Linux. So we've had this hybrid benefit program in Azure for a while, which basically means if you've bought licenses or have things like that on existing on-prem assets, such as like Windows Server or SQL Server, then you could bring those to the cloud and leverage those in the assets that you're running in the cloud or resources. This extends that over into Linux. So for those who are using things like Red Hat Enterprise, or I think SUSE also has those, they have subscriptions that enterprises typically buy for support and maintenance and things like that for their licenses that they have for those different offerings. This allows you to kind of bring those to the cloud as well. So that's a pretty cool thing. Kendall, I think there was one in here about Kubernetes you want to talk about.
Yeah, so just really quickly. So Brendan Burns came out with a great article kind of just on some of the innovations that we've done in the developer space when it comes to Kubernetes. A lot of this being on the heels of KubeCon this week. We also have Open Azure Day, which is taking place this week as well. But a couple of cool call outs here that I just wanted to kind of share. One of them is the maximum surge capability going GA, basically helping essentially you replace concurrently multiple nodes within your cluster during an upgrade process. So hopefully that should help from an operational perspective. And then also talking through Kada a bit, this article highlights that we'll drop in the show notes. And recently did a 2.0 release, Kada being the Kubernetes event-driven autoscaler. And for those of you who are interested, I think I've already called out that that the Global Black Belt team I'm on does the open office hours for AKS now biweekly. And so tomorrow I'm actually doing a presentation on Kada and some of how you can use it on Azure. So I'm not sure when this will be published, if it'll be after the fact, but just moving forward, we'll put in the show notes a link to be able to join those calls moving forward to get more information about some of these Kubernetes-related updates.
Yeah, I'll be sure to publish that before then, Kendall, so that we'll get the word out. And I also want to make a quick call out to the HPC workloads that are on Azure. We haven't talked about that recently, but there's a number of enhancements that have come up in the HPC and the AI space in Azure. Just increase in compute capabilities. Now we could have applications that run 12 times faster than other clouds. And there's so many use cases that are opened up with this, with these new HPC offerings. And we'll put a link to all of them. And in the whole of year 2020, we had a whole bunch of HPC offerings that are all summarized for you. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. Kale, over to you.
Awesome. So with that, that'll kind of wrap up the news section. We'll introduce our guest here and have him give a little background about himself. So allow me to introduce Nate McCurvey, who's with Splunk. And Nate, the floor is yours. Give us a little background on your journey and how you got to Splunk and what you're passionate about, and what you're working on there, and how this would relate with our enterprise customers.
Sure. So, yeah, I'm Nate McCurvey, and a long time ago, I started getting into data as a systems administrator and found this this tool at the time called Splunk that could allow me to analyze my IT logs and get better uptime and availability. And then over time, I learned that this data was also useful for security and for application development, and then for business analytics as well. And so I got this itch to go full time on data and thought there was no better place than Splunk. So I've been working at Splunk for 9 years now. And a couple years ago, I recognized that there was this new technology entering enterprises that was going to break down barriers between multiple parties who need to share things in a trustable and verifiable manner. And I got the itch to go full time into distributed ledger technology. So now I lead blockchain and DLT product and strategy at Splunk.
Super cool. So for the the Azure folks who are listening, for people who are using Azure today, how does this, if you could just give us kind of the high level of, like, you mentioned a little bit about Splunk allows you to analyze data. How would that relate to something in Azure? So is this like collecting logs? Is it more than that? Like, how does this, what's Splunk's kind of sweet spot there?
Oh, good question. Yeah, a lot of people that have heard of Splunk think it's that log aggregation tool. And that was true in about 2006. But since then, it's been apparent that there's other data types coming off of machines that are very important. So it's not just logs anymore. It's logs, it's metrics, it's traces. And more recently, it's ledger data and that metadata surrounding the actual transactional nature of the data as well. And so what Splunk does is it combines these logs, metrics, traces, and even ledger data all into one platform. So you can answer whatever question you have, whether it's an IT, a security, an application, or a business question. And so if you're running something in Azure, you're going to have a lot of components. You might be utilizing Kubernetes, but then you also have a lot of networking data and all this data that can be combined into one place so that if your application is having an issue or there's a security incident, you can go to one place to diagnose where that issue is and then even become more proactive instead of being reactive and prevent issues from happening in the future.
Yeah, so this is pretty cool, Nate. I know I've been using Splunk for a while, although I got to say I've been primarily using it for the logging components that you spoke of. Take us through this journey, though. I mean, I'm finding it difficult to kind of envision how something that is, you know, was originated as a logging system could now make that leap into distributed ledger technology, which is, I figured if, Kale was going to bring somebody on the show, it'd be related to blockchain. So can you kind of take us through the journey? Like, what are the common, like, what's there in Splunk that enable this distributed ledger technology? What is the technology that makes it happen?
Yeah. So I liked in the beginning that when you said the journey, like, you thought Splunk was mostly a logging tool, and we did as well. In fact, when our customers first started using Splunk for security purposes, we told them, no, we're for logs and IT use cases. We're not for security. And so our journey has and our success is really because our customers have taken us to these new places. So we started with logs for root cause analysis, and then we've added metrics to be able to detect things and measure SLAs and KPIs. And then traces to troubleshoot data. And now ledger data is definitely an emerging place. It's not the majority of our customers by any mean, but it's our customers who are solving problems with data that have brought us to this newer data source. And it's not, I would say it's not something that's going to rip and replace a bunch of enterprise infrastructure. Distributed ledgers really are net new enterprise technology. And like any new technology that enters an enterprise, it has challenges around stability, security, performance, and scale. And so I believe in that all problems are data problems. And if you can analyze the data correctly, you can solve those problems. And so we're helping customers successfully utilize their distributed ledgers on my team. But obviously, we're helping customers gain success for their enterprise infrastructure as well.
Nate, what are some of the type of customers that start thinking about using distributed ledger technology as opposed to just regular logging, or what are some of the reasons that they start thinking about this?
Good question. So it's been pretty fun being in this space because this technology applies to so many different industries. I didn't know anything about supply chain. I knew very little about financial services industries or the pharmaceuticals and credit ratings. But this technology is applicable to all these different areas that it's definitely been a great learning experience. But I'd say that there are three phases of technology adoption for this technology. In like phase one, most customers want to use this technology to increase security. So they want to improve integrity of data. They want to be able to verify audit data hasn't been tampered with or modified, or they want to secure files that can come to a great credit rating story on what they're doing with it. And then the second phase is, wait a second, we can use this to drastically improve business efficiencies. And so supply chains this year in 2020 have really been pushed past their limits, and we're seeing really fast adoption of supply chain use cases. Cisco and DHL put out a blog post a day or two ago about how they're using Splunk with Splunk's Connect for Hyperledger Fabric running in Azure to do just this. And then phase three, we're not seeing it yet, but I expect that we'll see business model transformations, which is often enabled by new technologies over time.
So as part of this transition into supporting this distributed kind of data source, what are some of the challenges I think that presented themselves or maybe major roadblocks in trying to change the way that Splunk operates in order to support this?
Mm-hmm. So with it, like I mentioned, with any new enterprise technology, you're going to have challenges over performance, stability, security, and scale. But a unique one to this technology is that you have multiple parties involved many times. You might be part of a consortium, and this consortium has not just friends, but competitors and frenemies on there. And so when you're dealing in a consortium, and you might even be deployed across various clouds, you might be on-prem as well, a hybrid, you could be operating in a managed service, an unmanaged service. There's all these different deployment models. It can be incredibly difficult to diagnose whether the issue is even your organization's fault or something with the consortium itself. And so the solution to this is to be able to only share enough information to diagnose issues, but do it in a way where you feel safe enough to do so. So not everyone's going to share everything with everybody. And we're helping provide solutions to do that. So one of the big problems is consortiums having members that don't necessarily trust each other, but they have to communicate to some degree.
And Nate, I'm also curious, is Splunk considered an OR as a solution for like logs and monitoring, or an AND solution in addition to Azure?
Well, you can always get you can use certain tools for certain purposes, and they may be better fit for that specific use case. So there might be one tool that's really designed for a very niche use case, and it's really excellent at it. But when you want to stretch that tool to do another set of data or another use case, it often just doesn't fit the bill. And so I would say that Splunk is this platform that can be used to solve many different types of data or problems with different types of data. And it's very good at many things, but in some cases you want the AND, you want Splunk AND. Really depends on the use case and how deep you go.
Yeah, and just to kind of tag on with that, Nate, like the thing that I see really powerful about what your offering is for distributed ledgers and blockchain technology is those things are not an island, right? You don't build an app just that runs on blockchain and that's it, right? It almost all integrates with some other either a legacy system or existing system. And maybe you could speak to like, you know, how customers could take advantage of that, meaning like I had something happen in my business system over here that has nothing to do with blockchain, but there's a dependency on blockchain for something. And, you know, maybe talk a little bit about like, how does that work together to give them a better view of like, hey, what's going wrong and how can I diagnose it?
And this was an example we were trying to demonstrate at our users conference last year. We had 10,000 attendees that could transact with this digital currency we created for them on a public layer 2 sidechain. And they had this mobile web browser wallet. We called it a burner wallet. And if there was an issue with the transaction, it might not be the ledger itself. It could have been an issue with the application we developed. It could have been an issue with the content delivery network or anything in between. And so you need to be able to collect data, not just from the ledger, but from all of these different components. But you're exactly right. Like, it's just a piece of the overall application. There may not be any issues with a ledger. In fact, over time, the applications for distributed ledgers, people won't even know that there is a distributed ledger. Technology that gets implemented at this level disappears from the front end. Nobody says they have an internet-enabled application anymore.
Sorry, Siji, I didn't mean to jump in. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding, because I feel like maybe I even didn't understand it until I'm listening. So Splunk itself is using blockchain in the back end to basically be able to validate the data integrity of the logs that's coming in. It's not necessarily like a Splunk add-on for blockchain that customers have. Because I can imagine that maybe it's both, but I just want to make sure I understand.
It's more so the latter. We are not building or deploying blockchains. We are agnostic to what distributed ledger our customers choose to adopt. We want organizations like Microsoft to be able to run nodes for customers in the cloud, and we give them the observability they need. So it doesn't matter if it's Hyperledger Fabric or Corda or Ethereum, Quorum. Our goal is to enable customers to gain this full observability of multi-party systems. And what we've realized is that no matter the use case of this technology, they have very similar problems. It's hard to get end-to-end visibility between components. There's a lot of different sources of data coming in at different formats and velocities. There's different blockchain technologies and platforms to choose from that have to interoperate with each other. And then they've got often different tools for logs of this type, metrics of that type, traces of this type. And they usually create scripts to analyze the transactions. And so we want to break down the silos between these data sources, these organizations, and the infrastructure providers by bringing all the data into one place.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for the confirmation. I'll pass it back to Siji. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, like things like smart contracts and whatnot that they use in blockchain, can they be parsed, or do they appear as first-class citizens when you do this kind of diagnostics on the Hyperledger?
Yeah, well, we're seeing the most useful applications of analysis of smart contracts is with the instrumentation of tracing into smart contracts. So developers can deploy new chain code in the case of Hyperledger Fabric, and they can see how this chain code is executing, what parts of the smart contract are taking longer or less long, what are more efficient or less efficient than previously.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, just to tag onto that, Nate, for our listeners, is this something that, as you talked before, kind of naturally kind of fits in with the Splunk portfolio, which is not just blockchain, obviously, it's much larger than that. But how does this get started? Is there like a blockchain product I go spin up, or like how can people who are listening to this like get started and say, hey, I want to see how that works with Ethereum or Hyperledger Fabric?
Yeah, so when our customers find us for blockchain use cases, it's usually because they want to analyze some data from the ledger. They want to be able to bring it into their system of analysis. So they want to extract the transactions and the metadata around the transactions. And they find something like our open source Splunk Connect for Ethereum or Splunk Connect for Hyperledger Fabric. And then they realize that there's more data that's important, but they usually start there. And I think it's a great place to start. You can go to GitHub and look at Splunk's repos and see these open source connectors. You can also go to splunkbase.com, which is our app store, and download them. And you can spin up a Docker container, for example, and start playing around with Splunk and seeing the data. You could connect it to public blockchains as well, like Ethereum, and start analyzing CryptoKitties or whatever you may want to analyze.
Yeah, so if I'm understanding it right, this is the blockchain piece of this, or the distributed ledger piece of this, are these connectors, which are these open source projects out here that people can run, like you mentioned container-based workflows, but then they also have like they'll set up like some standard Splunk components as well.
Right. They'll set up a Splunk instance, or they already have a Splunk instance running, and then they combine that with other data. So, for example, we have customers in financial services that are fighting financial fraud, for example, and they can now add public like USDC data and other data into their infrastructure and correlate across other data that they have and identify bad actors and create blacklists or block lists and allow lists and enrich those events such that they can see, is this a account that is known to be a scam, for example, or be able to use machine learning to determine if, even though we don't know who this account is, they are probably bad for any number of reasons, such as using tumblers or interacting with other addresses.
Yeah, and Sajid, just to tie into what you were mentioning, I don't know if it was clear here, but like I think one thing that's really good, and I've been working with Nate, full disclosure, for a while with these Splunk connectors, specifically the one for Ethereum. And one of the things, like getting, like you mentioned, like seeing which places, maybe some metrics off of what's being slow from a smart contract perspective. But I think the really powerful piece is that we've been looking at it for is the events, right? So like as data is being changed in the blockchain, this is immutable data, right? So it's just like append. There's always like new versions of, you know, the state of a contract that's coming forward. Those things are a lot of times raised as events, and business systems might need to react to those, right? To say like, hey, whenever I see this thing happen over here on the blockchain, that means I have to do this other thing in my system. And I feel like that's like a really powerful way. What this data unlocks that Splunk is kind of bringing together is the ability for you to build those kind of reactive applications to do those kind of things. So I think I wanted to make sure that was clear because it's super powerful about this tool.
And a modern example of that is with supply chain and with distribution of vaccines and so on. So the supply chain, like I said, is heating up. But if you want to make sure that you're optimizing your supply chain, your distributors can distribute these vaccines and they're maintaining their temperature threshold of negative 20 to negative 40 degrees, you need to be getting IoT data, patient data, and ledger data all in the one place so that you can react very quickly.
That is really cool. Thank you. I think this has been great, Gail. Good insight into this new product from Splunk. Anything else we want to cover with Nate before we let him go?
Cynthia made me think of something. I think it was Cynthia. Maybe it was Kendall. Made me think of we are also leveraging blockchain technology to improve our existing products. So, for example, you can improve the integrity of data inside of Splunk. A small, funny little example of this is when my daughter was born, I Splunked all of her birth information, her latitude or longitude, her name, her parents' information, her eye color, and all the other metrics I got. And then Splunk immediately hashed that data and salted it and wrote it to Ethereum mainnet. So now I have this little packet of data that I can at any time compute the hash of and compare to a block in time on Ethereum mainnet and prove that I'm the first to claim her and I have her, that this data hasn't been modified or changed. And I just think we're going to see a lot more. Why not be able to trust, but also be able to verify data? Now I guess now she's like the new kid on the blockchain. But really, for any cloud company, we're in this cloud world now, and we have to send our data to the cloud provider, and we have to trust them with that data. We should move to a world where we can trust but verify that data.
I can't believe that at no point during this podcast there wasn't a conversation around voting and blockchain and voting, because I feel like it seems kind of relevant, and B, I don't think you've ever heard anybody talk about blockchain and not use voting as like a really good use case, but maybe it's too soon.
I think there's promise, but there's definitely still problems to solve to really make voting with block, like identity is such a big thing, and Microsoft is making great strides here. I don't know if Kale wants to comment on that.
Yeah, no, that's Kendall, it's a great thing for a future podcast because I happen to know a few people in MSR, Microsoft Research, who have devoted their lives to how to create a better voting system, right? Something more digital, something that's more verifiable and things like that. So we should definitely follow up and have a podcast on that to talk about it. Needless to say, it's not a hey, just fire up a blockchain, it'll solve all your problems. That's not going to happen. It's definitely a lot more hard to solve.
But there definitely is a lot that will change in regards to fraud, though, and counterfeiting, and even fake news. You can make enhancements on combating fake news. Pharmaceuticals, 10% of all medicine is counterfeit. I didn't even know that. 30% of all drugs in Asia, Africa, and Latin America are counterfeit, and 64% of anti-malarial drugs in Nigeria. And this is $100 billion a year it costs pharmaceutical companies, and it kills people. But that's because the current system lacks this detection, this tracing, and the removal of drugs, because there's no shared state of what is an authentic drug. But we've already seen that the technology is mature enough now where it can handle, and the entire U.S. pharmaceutical chain has been tested, I guess you could say, with Ledger Domain and UCLA by being able to verify that the medicine that the person is about to apply isn't counterfeit, that it is supposed to go to that particular person. And I think that this kind of ability will be more and more important over time. And back to what Kale was saying earlier, just because there's a blockchain in that infrastructure doesn't mean that's the whole solution. There's still a mobile application that has to scan this bottle and be able to do all this verification. And there's a lot that could go wrong or could be slow in order to keep that high performance and secure. You need to be able to analyzing the data across multiple different components.
Awesome. Well, Nate, I don't know if there's any other things you'd like to get across to our listeners. Definitely, if you have any links to anything that users can use to get started with any of these tools, definitely share those. We'll put them in the show notes. But if there's anything else, I'll leave it to you. But I thank you so much for coming on here and talking about, you know, what you've been up to, what you guys are working on, and how our listeners could take advantage of it. So thank you.
Sure. You're welcome. And if anyone wants to get in contact, you can email blockchain@splunk.com or find me on Twitter at dataphysicist.
Awesome. Thanks again.
Thanks, all.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.